Jamie and Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon on the Green Zone. The smoke's moving out of the southern part of the province. Get out of here. We don't
forecast is okay smoke wise for tomorrow.
For Friday.
Sorry, what day is it?
It's a good start. As I said right off the beginning, happy Wednesday to everybody. It's a Wednesday with the Locker.
So Friday is the game. That's good. I knew that. I have tickets. But there's generally they'll put smoke in the forecast now, right? Yes. So is it subsiding? I know you're the smoke expert. For any and all smoke inquiries, please.
It's supposed to be just fine. It's supposed to be good. All the forecast says, clear day.
Send all your queries to Jamie Nye.
Now, remember 2 weeks ago, it was, the smoke's going to blow out by 7, by 8. Oh, the smoke's going to blow out maybe 9-ish. Can you hang around till 11? How about that? No? Okay, see you tomorrow at 2. So we have clarification from the Canadian Football League Locker on the smoke policy, which is, we'll see how it goes. We'll just play it by ear.
They don't have a definitive plan.
They haven't settled on a new plan yet for this similar situation.
It seems like a bad idea.
It seems like a terrible idea, to be quite honest.
All right.
So there's the latest smoke coverage.
Here's
the Green Zone.
Issue with that. Sorry. Here's the issue with that, Jamie. People are deciding whether or not to go to the game based on how they're going to be how the communication is going to happen for the smoke. They need to sort it out before Friday. Anyway, we can move on.
I've already talked to people who are like, I'm going to wait to see if it's the same thing's going to happen this week before I buy tickets.
Start knocking on your CFL doors. You have contacts.
I did
get
yesterday, and they told me nothing's happening.
All right.
Shake
a tree.
What I did.
Shake a tree, Jamie. People are counting on you.
If they're looking for, it's a terrible life choice if people are counting on me. Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and we begin with the Blue Jays, as all good things must come to an end.
High fly ball, right field and deep. Luke is back on the track. See ya! A huge home run for Ben Rice as the Yankees take a 5-4 lead.
Now that was in the top of the ninth. They held on for that 5-4 lead, and the Toronto Blue Jays' 11-game home winning streak snapped last night by the Yankees. So they did come back. They were down 4-1, came back, tied the game. It was 4-4, got interesting. But a loss for the first time in a while at the Rogers Centre for the Toronto Blue Jays. Of course, they're wrapping up that series in Toronto against the New York Yankees as they still have a 3-game series lead. And then up next, a 4-game set against the Tigers. That one is in Detroit starting tomorrow.
We'll stake with baseball. The big dumper ruined the free burger day in Milwaukee.
One swing could give the Mariners the lead. Out to right field.
Cal, a.k.a. the big dumper, 39th home run of the year. The only point in the game, Seattle Mariners beat the Brewers. There's a guy down there that's been doing this for years, and he's done it a couple of times. He's promised on streaks with the Brewers, free burgers for everyone. I think at one point he gave out close to 100,000 burgers. But it's been years since it's happened, and he promised it again if they got to 12 games. George Webb is his name. So that got kiboshed by the switch hitter last night. It was a close game. There was a couple of calls, too, that were a little dicey against the Brewers last night. So
we'll have to talk to Daryl about it a little later on, the Brewer fan.
Oh, he'll know about the burger thing.
I wonder if he changed his hat after the Brewers lost for the first time in a while. Because he's been sporting that Milwaukee Brewers hat for
every Wednesday.
I think he's sleeping with it, to be quite honest.
Every Wednesday he's been in here with that Brewers hat.
Sleeping with it on for Daryl Davis. Sorry, producer caught my eye going, careful, might want to clarify what you meant by that. Anyways, Let's go to the Canadian Football League. As
I don't know what's happening in Toronto anymore when it comes to Chad Kelly. Another update today.
They're already up 14. Oh, Kelly going to work again. End zone, touchdown. Kelly looking on a 2nd and 9. End zone, touchdown. Well, they're just patting the stats now.
Oh, they need Chad Kelly back, and he was practicing yesterday. He was practicing. It was yesterday.
Today he missed.
Didn't practice today. He was back in Buffalo today with his rehab.
Okay.
People are very confused. Now it is from practice to going back to Buffalo for his rehab with some of his personal trainers. Probably not going to dress now this week, so it'll be Nick Arbuckle again for the Argos against the Blue Bombers. And then we'll see next week how it goes with Chad Kelly. He was supposed to be back maybe at the start of the season, maybe week 4, maybe week 7. Oh, that's week 8.
Okay, so where was the break again? Because I remember seeing the highlight.
Yeah, it was a tib fib. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it's not lining up right.
Well, they say it's the strength. It's the push-off for Chad.
Okay.
When he has to scramble and he has to use that leg to push away, they're worried that if it pushes and different things that it could be re-aggravated or something. So
okay.
The curious question to Chad Kelly continues. Real quick, rider note, I know we were worried about Jameer Thurman. Head coach Corey Mace says he'll be fine and good to go. At middle linebacker for the Riders.
Toe, right?
It was a toe injury, and he was seen in a walking boot yesterday, but should be good to go.
And what is load management?
That's a new thing. You saw that on the injury report yesterday.
We got to talk to Britton about that when he's in.
It's a new thing. Apparently.
Is it legal?
Yes. It's a preferred term now in the Canadian Football League rather than healthy scratch.
Okay.
It's the preferred term. Load management.
All right, more on that a little later on the show. We'll move over to tennis. Venus Williams is back.
Venus Williams back with a bang.
I'll tell you, she didn't look 45 in the highlights that I saw. She becomes the oldest woman since Martina Navratilova, who did it when she was 47 back in 2004, to win a tour-level singles match. She beat somebody 22 years younger than her, Peyton Stearns, last night, 6-3, 6-4, in the D.C. Open. So watch for Venus Williams making a cut. Is Serena next?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
She's got too much money.
Yeah, Venus, it's not like Venus is suffering financially, but maybe they'll do they'll come back together and do a doubles like they did way back in the day.
Venus Williams won 4 Grand Slam titles before Peyton Stearns was born. It's just an interesting stat there.
And meanwhile, tomorrow is literally Judgment Day when it comes to the trial in Hockey Canada. It's been something you should be following early tomorrow morning is when the judge will render her decision on the case.
8 a.m. our time, I think, is when the verdict is supposed to come down.
Of Cal Foote, Dylan Dubé, Alex Formanton, Carter Hart, and Michael McLeod. Of course, they all pleaded not guilty. This was, at the beginning, a jury trial, and then they had to redo the jury because something happened, and then that jury got removed, and it went to judge alone. So tomorrow, the judge will make the verdict and the decision on the fate of these 5 Team Canada junior players from that 2018 sexual assault scandal. So that is tomorrow morning, and we will have you covered on that throughout the day here on CJME and CKOM. But coming up next, here on the Green Zone, we do this every third of the season. We do it at the start, then after 6 games, then after 12 games. The confidence index in the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 5-1 start to the season. And it's the same question we ask every time, and we'll track it all year. How far do you think this Roughrider team is going in 2025? All the way to the Grey Cup? Or are you the ultimate pessimist slash bomber fan who thinks they're going to miss the playoffs after a 5-1 start? 1-877-332-8255. How confident are you in the green and white after a 5-1 start to 2025? This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Damian Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Britton Gray just barged in, kicked the door open pretty well, and said, I got some news. As the CFL.ca has published the injury report for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and there is a surprise that we were not expecting, and it was a closed practice today, where offensive lineman Zach Fry is listed as out with a head injury. He was not on the injury report yesterday. He was not hurt, as we would believe, in the BC Lions game. So you speculate on what happened at practice today, because he went to limited participant with a head injury listed as out for Friday's game. Starting left guard for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, you'd think Noah Zaire would step into that spot. Braden Knoll comes on. But again, Locker, again.
More
offensive line injuries for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
And he's Canadian too, right?
Yeah.
That poses some issues with who you replace him with.
Well, with the ratio. You could if you wanted to. I don't know if you'd think about it as going four American offensive linemen and then throwing a Canadian elsewhere for your ratio. You'd have to have four on defense or another receiver comes on or something.
Outside chance he got hurt during practice, maybe?
I don't know. That would be all speculation. But when you're not listed on the injury report at all on Tuesday, they have a closed practice today and it's limited head injury out. Something went on in that 24 hours that you're worried about going, what happened? Was it a practice thing? Maybe, maybe not. We'll get an update on the depth chart with head coach Corey Mace tomorrow. And the other thing we're waiting for is the depth chart of the Edmonton Elks. Who's starting a quarterback for the Edmonton Elks? It's something that definitely is being pondered by the Saskatchewan Roughriders with Corey Mace in preparing for either Cody Fajardo or Trey Ford, who have been splitting reps, and it was a closed practice in Edmonton as well today. So,
What's the deadline for the release of the depth charts in the CFL? Do they have to have it out before, like, a certain period of time before a game?
Oh, yeah, it's tomorrow. They have to have it out tomorrow by, I think it's is it noon Eastern? I forget what the deadline is, but it has to be tomorrow morning that they release the depth charts and file them to the Canadian Football League. And
it doesn't matter if you're playing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. It's always
the
that
day before.
Thursday.
It's the day before.
It's the day before. Okay.
Yep, every time. It's beyond just above 24 hours before the game is when that depth chart needs to be submitted to the Canadian Football League officially.
Okay.
And then you could have game time decisions and things like that that are decided within, you know, an hour before kickoff if necessary as well. Different things. But something to look for tomorrow is when the depth charts get released, who's the number one quarterback, and how the Rough Riders deal with a late injury right before a game with now Zach Fry, starting left guard for the Riders, landing as an out on the injury report that was just posted at CFL.ca. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Now, this shouldn't impact your confidence in the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, this one injury, but it's starting to get really annoying for Rider Nation to have injury after injury after injury along the offensive line and them going deep, 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 deep down the depth chart to find offensive linemen.
It's not the only team. We're not the only team dealing with it as well, right? There's other injuries, across the league. So it's a common thing. Just seems to be
with this offensive line
issue here in Saskatchewan last couple of years.
They need an exorcism in the offensive line meeting room. I don't know what's going on. Did someone break a mirror in there one day or what? Because they don't walk under a ladder going into that meeting room in the offensive line. It's wild. I've never seen this in consecutive years going on where it's the same group getting hurt all the time.
What is the other one? Black Cats. Also, isn't it bad luck to smoke a whole bunch of cigarettes at the same time?
That's just unhealthy.
Oh, okay. I thought there was...
But we are doing the confidence index here on the Green Zone for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. How far do you think this team is going? 5-1 start to the first third of the season. You break up the season in thirds, 6 games apiece. So we recalibrate on how you were feeling preseason. We'll go back to what you were thinking preseason, but what you are thinking now. Right now, still, a lot of people think you're going to Winnipeg for the Grey Cup this year. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Jamie and Locker with you on this Wednesday afternoon on the Green Zone. A reminder for Friday at Mosaic Stadium with the Riders and the Edmonton Elks. It is the Purolator Tackle Hunger Games, so make sure those non-perishable food items, throw some in a bag and make sure throw it in those bins outside the stadium before entering the stadium. And then cash donations they take as well.
Okay, I was going to ask because it's hard to haul a lot of food on a scooter.
I also believe the Grey Cups usually linger around on for photos on Purolator Tackle Hunger Day. So I get a photo.
There we go.
It's become an annual tradition where I get a text from my wife of her and the two kids with the Grey Cup before kickoff. I guess my oldest is in camp, so she won't be there. But
is it every entrance that they do it at, or is it specific?
For the collection, party in the park.
Okay,
they'll have a huge thing there.
Okay,
for Purolator Tackle Hunger is where for the picture of the Grey Cup and all that stuff and taking those donations. That's just outside the what side of the stadium is that? West side of the stadium between the stadium and the Brandt Center. Yes, Purolator Tackle Hunger.
You know where I found out about this?
No idea.
My lovely wife. She was like, we got to remember. She told me this a couple of days ago. She goes, it's the food bank thing, Tackle Hunger. Remember, we got to haul some stuff on the scooters to the game on Friday. I'm like, okay, good for you. There you go.
So that is one note for this week.
Almost 30,000 pounds last year.
We can beat that.
Let's beat that. Come on. It's going to be a busy game. You know why? I have a prediction. It's going to be a busy game on Friday, and here's why. Because a lot of people got the free tickets from the game, from the previous game, and they're probably using them for this Friday's game, right? On top of, like, your normal. So I'm predicting big numbers.
I never even thought of that. Because they got ticket discount or free tickets. You can go to this one. And the smoke's cleared out this week, so we should have a kickoff at 7 o'clock as scheduled.
You want to put that on the board?
That they're going to kick off as scheduled? I think I'll jinx it if I put it on the board, to be quite honest, and I don't want that heat from the fan base, as I usually get. But here on the Green Zone, it's through the first third of the season for the Rough Riders. They have a 5-1 record. They are tied with the Calgary Stampeders for top spot in the West Division. Each and every third of the season, we re-ask the question. On our confidence index, how far are the Riders going this year? Right now, you can vote at Jamie and I on X at Green Zone SK. We retweeted that. 45% say they will make it to the Grey Cup. 40% losing the division final, maybe to the Calgary Stampeders. 12% losing the division semifinal. And 2% are Bomber fans saying they'll miss the playoffs.
Only 2%.
There's no way this team's going to miss the playoffs.
So what was the start last year for the Riders?
It
was 5-1. So it's
they went
exactly
to the West final.
And then they went on a skid.
Yes.
Right? I remember the confidence index after the skid. So is this comparable to the confidence index for the first one that you did last year?
No. The confidence is way higher this year.
Okay.
Way higher than it was last year. Last year was like division final, division semifinal. Not a lot of people were thinking Grey Cup. After that 5-1 start, more people saw. This is way higher confidence that 85%, well, really 89%, are saying this team is going to the Final Four, division final, or a Grey Cup appearance. That is way higher confidence than we've seen the last couple of years in Saskatchewan.
Still lots of time to vote. So Jamie and I tweeted that out, but it's also been retweeted on mine and also Green Zone SK. If you have a minute, go put a vote in for that.
1-877-332-8255 is the Riders take on the Edmonton Elks on a Friday night football as we continue here on the Green Zone. And I'll be interested to see where we're at by the end of the show today on where people believe this team can land for the Rough Riders season. Because 5-1 and a strong start, but how much do the Calgary Stampeders impact your thought on where the Rough Riders can go? Because the Calgary Stampeders came into Saskatchewan and taught the Riders a lesson on that smoke-delayed game on that Saturday afternoon in a game I don't think a lot of people saw coming from the Riders.
No.
Like they laid an absolute egg at home against Calgary. Then Calgary, the week before, beats the Bombers up, then goes to Winnipeg after, beats the Bombers up again, and you're going, okay. Like, they are beating teams.
They are dominating.
And putting dirt over the grave and not letting them up.
Yeah.
That's where the Riders, when you look at the comparables, are saying they're a lot tighter games for the Rough Riders and their wins. And the Stamps have beat the Bombers twice. The Riders haven't even played the Bombers yet to really gauge where that is. 1-877-332-8255. It is the redo of the confidence index. Donald saying, Grey Cup appearance. He believes Vernon Adams, like the other quarterbacks in the league, will get hurt somewhere along the line, and you're going to start to see the Stampeders fall back. So Donald is confident.
The interesting thing about Vernon Adams Jr. right now is, it's not all him,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it took two or three games for him to get a touchdown, didn't it?
Oh, he was way low on touchdowns. It was the Stampeders' defense has been dominant. Dedrick Mills is a running back there, has been so good. So you have seen the Calgary Stampeders win various different ways. Damian Alford, their number one overall pick, the young Canadian, he's insane on what he's putting out there. I put it, he's on track to have the greatest season as a first overall Canadian draft pick in the history of the CFL. That's how good he is. Butt locker, the Riders will get healthier. Kean Schaefer-Baker will come back. CJ Avery will come back. Other offensive linemen will get healthier later on in the season. I know they're going through it right now on some offensive line injuries, but I do believe you're going to start to see the Rough Riders get healthier. 1-877-332-8255. This is how the confidence index works. It's where you believe the Rough Riders season is heading. The last game of the season, will it be the Grey Cup? Will it be the Final Four and a loss in the West Final? Maybe a loss in the West Semi, or miss the playoffs.
It is interesting. He's got a really high efficiency rate, Vernon Adams Jr. He's only got 8 touchdowns, but he's getting the yards. Like, he's second to Bo on yards, mm-hmm. at 17, just over 1,700 and 1,800 for Bo.
But when you look at Trevor Harris, is one of the best quarterbacks in the Canadian Football League. When he's on and he's protected, he is one of the best. AJ Ouellette is way better than he was last year because he's healthier. So I think the Riders have a lot going for them too, and they'll, learn a lesson from the Calgary Stampeders. They play them again in August. But the votes continue to come in on the confidence index here on the Green Zone. It's up to, 46%, with 41 saying division final appearance. 45%, almost half, say this Rough Rider team is going to the Grey Cup. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Guilty pleasure. Hall & Oates.
You don't have to be guilty about listening to
Hall & Oates. Oh, it's a guilty pleasure. Come on. I'm still looking for a vinyl copy of
Taylor Swift is a guilty pleasure.
Wow, that's something else.
Hall & Oates, that's not a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it is.
It's just good music. We don't need to get into
it. If I had a party and I had all my friends over, I don't know if
they'd
I'd
all be singing. They'd all be singing.
You're probably right.
You put that song on, they'd be like, yeah.
You know what? You're probably right. Maybe it isn't a guilty. Is it not a guilty pleasure? If I'm in the car and I'm driving along and I turn up a Hall & Oates song, I might close the windows. It's a guilty. I'm back to it's a guilty pleasure.
I'm sure Hall & Oates fans will be texting us any moment now.
I love Hall & Oates. First album I ever bought with my own money was Voices. I'm still looking for a vinyl copy of that, by the way.
Is that why you go to the vinyl place like daily just to see if it pops in there?
I sneak over there to see if anything new shows up. Listen, don't say anything. I'm spending a little too much money over there.
Always.
Da-da-ba-da.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your wife doesn't listen to the show, does she?
I hope not.
Because I know mine does. So that's what I'm very, very careful about. Things I say on the radio. Confidence index. I went back to see what the confidence index at the start of the season was. Before the kickoff of the season, and we do that. We do it at the start, and then we do it after the first third. 55.5% of people voted for the Riders would make it to the Grey Cup. So that has dropped about 10% to about 45%.
Is it the Calgary Stampeders effect?
I'm guessing it's the loss to the Calgary Stampeders that might be affecting that. Lose the division final was only 24. That's up to 40. So about 80% had the Riders in the final four. Very similar to what they have now.
But more people were going to the division final than Grey Cup.
And more people earlier in the season, before the season started, having a Grey Cup appearance.
Okay.
Now, what's really gone is the missed the playoffs. There's 10% of people thought they'd missed the playoffs. That's like 1% now. That is those who haven't followed anything this CFL season voting. Or, as I said, they're
closer to one.
They're Bombers.
Like, fans. It's 1.8, so 2%.
1-877-332-8255. What do you think of the Riders season? Kirk has texted in. It all depends on Friday night. If we win, we're going to the Grey Cup, baby. Can't say whether they win or lose that game because I don't want to jinx it. But, adds Kirk, and it's but, you have to say it the way he wrote it because there's four U's. If Fajardo comes into Mosaic and whoops our ass on his debut game, then throw what I said out the window. Cody will drag the Elks to the Grey Cup. Now there's a take.
That is a very interesting take because we're 5-1 and the Elks are
1-5.
1-5. There's opposing stats there, Kirk.
Shane says, I believe the Riders will be at the Grey Cup. And why do I think that? I think they have all the components to get there. And that's where I'm at. Belton's put it on the board. I've said I believe this team's going to go to Winnipeg for the Grey Cup. Special teams. Defense. Offense. Run game. Receivers. Quarterback. Again, the offensive line is a little bit of a question with another injury. And if you missed it, Zach Fry out of the lineup. Britton Gray will bring you up to date on that in just a minute. So injuries they always play a factor. Depth of Canadians is a big positive for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So that's why I believe the Rough Riders will get to a Grey Cup.
I have a recent concern, and this is a new one, just based on the number of times I've heard it over the last couple of days. And I don't know why they're doing it, but a number of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders seem to be eating rat poison.
As Corey May said yesterday, listening to the media types talk good of you. Or it was Trevor Harris who said it, actually, who said,
stop eating rat poison, you guys. Just quit.
All those positive columns, all those positive radio personalities saying we're going to go to the Grey Cup. He calls it rat poison. That can be rat poison, is to consume all that positive stuff. Avoid the outside noise, good or bad, and keep it internal in that locker room, was Trevor Harris's message. Don't get too far ahead of ourselves. There are still 14 games, potentially, until that Grey Cup game in Winnipeg. 1-877-332-8255.
Is this a business? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, in the year 2000, 25 years ago today, July 23rd, it was the Open Championship at St. Andrews. And why is it a notable victory? Well, it's because 24-year-old Tiger Woods won his first ever Open Championship, and in doing so was the youngest ever to win a career Grand Slam, doing it at the age of 24. He also won it by 8 strokes, which remains the modern-day record. There was some talk, well, Scottie Scheffler matched Tiger Woods' 8-stroke win. He won by 4 at this year's Open Championship.
He is not a Tiger Woods.
So Tiger Woods,
just park that conversation,
is the youngest ever to win the career Grand Slam at St. Andrews. 19 under par for the week, by the way. That was the second of 3 majors he'd win that year, following it up with the PGA Championship.
I remember what he was wearing. August.
Well, he's wearing red. He always wears red on
Sunday.
Well,
I remember his outfits from that, like with the weather and everything. That's such an iconic tournament.
And Duval was in the final group. I was like, wow, haven't thought of that guy in a long time. He was one of the best. I think he was number one with Tiger back then, but no, he fell off. Tiger continued to dominate. So it was 2000 when Tiger won the career Grand Slam with a win at St. Andrews at the age of 24.